This podcast was recorded Thursday, October 4th at 11:15 a.m. Things might have changed by the time you hear it.
Yeah, like they'll come up with a better name for the United States-Mexico-Canada Agreement, otherwise known as the USMCA.
That sounds like a horrible 70s pop song.
It wasn't that bad.
It was bad. Let's talk politics. This is Snollygoster, WOSU Public Media's weekly look at Ohio politics and all those shrewd Snollygosters we'll elect in a few weeks. We'll get to what may or may not have been the latest round of misleading statements, depending on who you believe, in just a couple minutes. I'm Steve Brown.
And I'm Mike Thompson. The nomination of Brett Kavanaugh to the United States Supreme Court continues to dominate the airwaves, the cable waves, the national headlines. We'll hear the latest comments from Ohio's U.S. senators on the controversy.
And our weekly segment, John Kasich GPS, takes us to MSNBC, where our governor was talking about how similar the new NAFTA is to the old NAFTA.
But first, to the governor's race. The candidates met this week in Marietta for their second debate. They talked about the statewide ballot issue to cut jail time for drug offenders, the now-shuttered virtual charter school ECOT, and healthcare.
Yes, healthcare, in particular Obamacare. It's suddenly the key issue in the campaign, and it's the subject of Richard Cordray's latest campaign ads targeting his Republican opponent, Mike DeWine.
When I heard that Mike DeWine wanted to allow insurance companies to refuse to pay for pre-existing conditions, it made me sick to my stomach. I don't want Mike DeWine to have that power.
Cordray has a few of those ads going after DeWine for joining a lawsuit against the individual mandate included in the Affordable Care Act.
Yeah, so Mike DeWine used this debate to fire back.
Mr. Cordray, unfortunately, is wrong, and he knows he's wrong. I have come out in favor throughout my career in favor of protecting people and making sure they have coverage in regard to pre-existing illnesses. I can go back and show you in different campaigns where I said that, and I have fought for that, and I will continue to do that.
Well, Cordray's campaign did go back into DeWine's campaigns and found an ad that DeWine ran against Cordray in 2010 when they both were running for attorney general.
He might be Barack Obama's favorite state attorney general, incumbent Richard Cordray. Cordray refuses to fight Obama's health care plan, even though it will cost Ohio jobs, hurt small business, and slash Medicare benefits. Ohio's lost almost 400,000 jobs, and Cordray's job-killing policies are making it worse. Mike DeWine will fight Obama's health care plan.
It is costly.
As usual, the truth lies somewhere in the middle, and both candidates rely on a bit of hindsight and revisionist history in this case.
Yeah, DeWine, of course, does oppose Obamacare. He was one of several attorneys general who sued to try to get rid of the health care law, claiming it was unconstitutional. And at the time, he did not parse out elements of the law, but now he says he was primarily concerned with the mandate that each individual person buy health insurance or pay a tax penalty. And he's saying that's killing Ohio jobs. DeWine also says he never opposed Medicaid expansion, another key component of Obamacare. He says he just wanted to improve it.
He hid those facts pretty well during those years. And Cordray says DeWine cannot have it both ways. You can't sue to scrap Obamacare, but say, well, I really want to keep the pre-existing condition provision and the Medicaid expansion provision. So it's revisionist history. What did he mean back in 2010 when he ran that ad?
Was there no way that the Supreme Court could have just struck down the mandate and upheld the rest of the law? I know a lot of proponents of the law say the mandate was the scaffolding that held it all up in place, but presumably a judge could have upheld DeWine's argument.
Well, they could, and they actually did when it comes to the Medicaid expansion component. The original law imposed a penalty on states that did not expand Medicaid. And the Supreme Court said that was unconstitutional, and that's what led to states being able to opt in or opt out of Medicaid expansion. Of course, Ohio opted in. So they could have struck down the individual mandate, but the Supreme Court ruled that it was a tax and it was necessary to hold the law together.
I do not remember a single comment from Mike DeWine saying he supported this mandated coverage of people with pre-existing conditions. He says that he said all those things. Do we know if he really did?
Well, you know, the Dispatch went back this week and looked at some of the statements. And Republicans, let's just lay the groundwork. Republicans, for the most part, have endorsed parts of Obamacare. They generally like the popular parts, pre-existing conditions being covered. Most Republicans say they should keep that, even if they oppose Obamacare, and they like the provision that says that adult children can stay on their parents' plans until the age of 26. It's hard to do that and without the individual mandate, but that being said, so Mike DeWine is probably not wrong here, but he didn't make a big deal out of supporting key components of Obamacare because that doesn't win him Republican votes, and that goes against his, you know, Obamacare was the boogeyman, the boogie bill.
Yeah, I mean, context is important. Obamacare was very unpopular among the right at the time that DeWine was running for attorney general in 2010. It just, you know, it hindsight's 20/20. I do think his argument here is tenuous at best. I certainly think he was against Obamacare, and I think most people are kind of giving him the side eye when he says that he was for the pre-existing coverage part.
And his spokesman told the Dispatch, the Attorney General spokesman, said that he's always supported COBRA, which does protect folks with pre-existing conditions so long as they don't let their insurance lapse. The problem was pre-Obamacare was if your insurance lapsed.
And COBRA is unique in that it's meant for people who are losing their work-related insurance. So that makes sense that COBRA has that element in it.
Yeah. So, but if your insurance lapsed, I mean, before Obamacare, insurance companies could deny you because of a pre-existing condition. You had to keep that continuous course of health insurance to get it. It just shows you this healthcare is the number one real issue in this campaign, aside from Donald Trump. Healthcare is a bigger issue than the economy. It's a bigger issue than taxes. It's a bigger issue than any of the social issues, gay marriage or abortion rights. Healthcare is becoming the big issue in this campaign. Or it has become. It has been since the special elections in last spring.
And the thing that I think I'm most surprised about with healthcare is the popularity of Medicaid expansion. Over the last 2 years, it's become almost uncriticizable. 4 years ago, 6 years ago, people on the right were widely against the expansion of Medicaid. They saw it as almost a welfare program. And now they're all for it. I mean, they all sound like Democrats when they talk about Medicaid expansion.
Two things going on there. A lot of their constituents are on Medicaid expansion.
Right.
And they rely on it and they need it. And it's hard to take away a government program, a government benefit program after it's been imposed.
And it's very popular. People who have Medicaid generally like it.
You don't want to take something away from somebody. That people don't they have it now, like Social Security, like Medicare.
Right.
That's why I don't think Social Security and Medicare are ever going to go away. People have it and there will be a uproar if they ever tried to take it away or severely cut it back. They'll find a way to fix all of it eventually.
We are still waiting on the results of the FBI investigation into Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh to become public. But Ohio politicians continue weighing in.
Yeah, Rob Portman, he introduced Kavanaugh during his confirmation hearing, if you recall. Last week he said both sides should be heard.
Very controversial statement, Portman.
Yes. That was a Republican talking point. Let's listen to both sides. She was credible, but we're sticking with Kavanaugh. And this week, Portman seems to be squarely on the side of Kavanaugh. He came out in support of the Supreme Court nominee accused of sexual assault.
Well, and I think he was upset. He was pretty aggressive, and I think that's understandable given the accusations that he has faced. I mean, he strongly believes he is being unjustly accused of horrendous behavior.
Portman did say, talking about Kavanaugh's demeanor during that hearing, Portman did say Kavanaugh was correct to apologize to Senator Amy Klobuchar of Minnesota for snapping at her and answering her, did she ever black out, when she asked him the same question about his college drinking. But Portman's with Kavanaugh.
Yeah, he certainly is, no doubt about that. Ohio's other U.S. Senator, Democrat Sherrod Brown, predictably on the other side of the aisle. He claims Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell is rushing the Supreme Court confirmation process because he fears more negative publicity about Kavanaugh will surface. Brown says that the FBI probe does not sound like it's going to be thorough enough. McConnell answered this week saying Democrats have been trying to, quote, move the goalposts for Kavanaugh's confirmation. At least the Democrats have goalposts. Remember, Republicans just said, no, we're not going to hear the Merrick Garland nomination. Yep. We're just not going to even bother.
It was clear. And from what, as we record this podcast, it does not appear that the supplemental FBI investigation or background check, whatever you want to call it, is going to shed a whole lot more light. Democrats are criticizing it as being too heavily curtailed. Apparently, Christine Blasey Ford was never interviewed by the FBI, which is odd. Perhaps they thought that she said it all in the confirmation hearing. But we'll find out this weekend if Mitch McConnell has the vote. And you know what this is doing is it seems to be energizing Republicans. The NPR, PBS, NewsHour, Marist poll this week shows that the enthusiasm gap between Republicans and Democrats leading up to this election is virtually gone. That Republicans are as enthusiastic as Democrats for this election. So any talk of enthusiasm-fueled waves for now seems to have ebbed.
And I'll tell you, Donald Trump's behavior does not seem to negatively affect any of this. I mean, it was just horrible, horrible optics when he's in Mississippi and he's openly mocking Christine Blasey Ford, and there are a bunch of white men behind him just cheering in uproarious laughter. I think this poll shows that it motivates his base.
Yes, it does. And I also think that some of the enthusiasm gap closing is just a natural progression of the election. You get closer to the election, more ads show up on your television screens.
More people get riled up.
You're getting more door knocks. You're seeing more yard signs. So I think enthusiasm was generally going to increase for Republicans. So the question is now, will it hold through Election Day? A lot depends on if Kavanaugh gets confirmed or not. If Kavanaugh gets rejected, I think that Republican enthusiasm stays. If Kavanaugh gets confirmed, then I think your Democratic enthusiasm is heightened even more. So we have 30-some-odd days left. It's going to be interesting to watch. But with midterm elections, it does come down to enthusiasm and turnout. And a lot of races here in Ohio, the governor's race, the 12th district congressional race, really will rely on turnout and enthusiasm.
There's no indication either that Democratic enthusiasm is low. It is up. It is. Yep. It happens that, you know, we have this new poll immediately following the Kavanaugh hearings that's it shines a little light on this whole process. But Democratic enthusiasm has been through the roof all summer.
And you see it with the fundraising figures that came out this week. Democratic candidates up and down the ballot are significantly outraising their Republican opponents.
Except with Mike DeWine. Mike DeWine has a big lead on Richard Cordray.
Yeah, but as far as money, but a number of donations, Cordray's up. So the Democrats are fired up, but it appears now the Republicans are also fired up, and we'll see who actually turns out. Early voting starts soon, so we'll start to see some of those numbers.
We certainly will. Let's turn now to our weekly segment, John Kasich GPS.
Ohio, Governor Kasich, welcome back to Meet the Press.
Thanks, Chuck.
Governor, welcome back to Fox News Sunday.
We went to Tulsa instead of where we were going.
This is the weekly segment where we bust out those GPS beacons to find the world's most prolific talking head. This week,
he was in New York City, in studio at MSNBC, commenting on the new version of NAFTA, which he says is a whole lot like the old NAFTA that he voted for when he was in Congress.
For those people who thought NAFTA was so horrible and all the jobs were flown, I voted for NAFTA. And it is, on the whole, it was a good result. For those who said, oh, it was horrible, we have a new trade deal, there's not much difference here. Yeah, some Mexican workers will make more. That's a good thing. This domestic content, we don't even know how that's going to work. Because it is possible, Stephanie, that somebody will want to produce some of what they're making in North America, in Europe, because they can't meet all the standards. Look, I'm just saying to you, there's some good parts to it. Overall, it's not really a big change, but at least it's done.
So NAFTA was good. NAFTA, right? Like everything old is new again. NAFTA is retro now.
Kasich has always been supportive of NAFTA. He points to the benefits that, you know, that Honda's here and selling cars partially because of NAFTA. Soybean farmers and corn farmers are benefiting from NAFTA. You know, Sherrod Brown and NAFTA critics point to steel mills and other manufacturing plants that shut down because of NAFTA, or allegedly because of NAFTA. Same arguments, new deal, and a new name, the USMCA. The UNCMA.
The USMCA.
The UNCMA.
All right. Well,
USCMA. USCMA.
USMCA. It's a terrible name, but it is kind of catchy once you start putting it to that tune. Anyway, that will do it for this week's episode. Be sure to leave us a good review on iTunes. If you have a bad review, I'm not really sure why you're still listening at this point, but either way, tell your friends about us, word of mouth.
Good reviews help boost our listening, and that's what we want.
They certainly do. And we have an email address that we plugged last week, but we should plug it again.
Did we get any emails? I haven't checked either.
I don't think we did.
Okay, we promised to check this week. So send your emails to snollygoster@wosu.org.
We will. And we will read them personally, I promise. Until next week, I'm Steve Brown.
And I'm Mike Thompson for Snollygoster. When you're short on